When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Oh my goodness. Is that... Yes, it is. It's the music that signifies that the best show is back again. And here we are on a Tuesday night, back again. Starting a little late, I was on the phone. What do you want me to do? When the calls come in, I gotta take them. Turned out it was somebody trying to sell me solar panels. So, guys, I just bought some solar panels. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Oh, these guys. Why don't you guys go off the grid first? I'll meet you. Seriously, you guys go off the grid. 3 mountain men out there. Your Umberto beef jerky. Yeah, take the snacks. Take all the Umberto beef jerky with you. Yeah. Go see if you got a beef jerky connect, Mike. But one thing you can connect is the dots that add up to a majestic drawing of another perfect episode of The Best Show!
Indeed. Because
What's up? Hi, guys. It's the best show. Back again on another Tuesday night here. The beginning of the month of May in the year 2017. How are we all doing? The phone number, 201-332-3484. 201-332-3484. Who did we just hear? Well, it's a band called The Moondogs. And this is a record put out by our friends over at Mighty Mouth Music, which is a division of Almost Ready Records, who put out so many great records that we've all loved over the last bunch of years. And that song's called Walking in the Rain. This is a 5-song, 12-inch, originally recorded way back in 1980. It's good stuff. You like that, Mike? Yeah, Mike liked it. Dudio's back. You say something Dudio's not going to want to hear. We made it without you, buddy. We made it without you. Wasn't easy. Wasn't easy. I'm not going to say it was easy. We got through it. But you were helping by remote. And where was Dudio? Lipstick City. The one and only Lipstick City. Los Angeles. City of the damned. Los Angeles. City of the damned. One of the most damned people in history wrote that song. The late, great Gene Clark. You know that song, Mike? It goes a little something like this.
Los Angeles, city of the doomed.
Of the doomed, not the damned. London was the city of the damned. Remember when the damned showed up and it was like, boom, 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 boom. I want a man, need a mystery man. Remember? Neat, neat, neat. You can't afford the sandwich. Neat, neat, neat. You can't afford this food at all. So, anyway, Dudio was in Los Angeles. Why? Because he won a contest to meet Baby Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. But here's the thing. He showed me a photo of him and Baby Groot. I think Dudio was on some kind of prank show and he doesn't even know it yet. He was with like a fern, just like a plant. And he was shaking one of the fern's leaves as if he was shaking Baby Groot's hand. He can't hear this now. It was very sad. I said to Dudio, that's Baby Groot, huh? He's like, yeah, he's cool. And he said, me and Baby Groot went all over L.A. He started saying to me, will you drive me around? I don't have a driver's license anymore since my DUI. It's like, first of all, Baby Groot had a DUI. Red flag number one. Secondly, who's saying this stuff? Unless there was a microphone in that thing. Not a microphone, there'd be a little amplifier. And the pranksters on this prank show were telling him what to do. And they were filming him. That's very possible. It's also a chance Dudio was imagining everything the fern was saying. I even now am starting to question whether there was a contest. And whether Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 even premiered that week. He said that they got thrown out of the Roosevelt Hotel. Him and Baby Groot got thrown out right onto Hollywood Boulevard. Because they were being rowdy. And then he said Baby Groot was hanging out with Bella Thorne. And started blowing Dudio off. and the studio thought Baby Groot had a bit of a tood. And now I'm just like starting to wonder if any of this happened. I'm scared to work with these people. Oh, yeah, that's how we do it. What's going on tonight, everyone? Well, let me tell you. Last night I did the talk show that's live called Running Late with Scott Rogowski. And it's like a live talk show. Well, all talk shows are live, but he does it at the different room in New York City. You can come see it. And it was me on the bill. Sal Vulcano from Impractical Jokers, our friend of the best show. You like Sal, Mike? Right? Not so much. Mike's more of a fan of What's-His-Face, the magician on True TV. The magician who projects himself into like a tanning bed. Every third episode, he goes from a tanning bed to like a vending machine or something. I did the show. Sal was on the bill, and then Dick Cavett was on it, and that was exciting. Watching Dick Cavett walk by me, wildly disinterested in me, that was a fun feeling. When Dick Cavett said something nice to Sal, and then went to me like, "Oh, you, you," like some like stammering, complete. Some stammering yet absolute dismissal. Really? Dick, can you blow me off? First of all, what am I going to do? Wait, trust me, dude. It's a two-way street.
What was it like when you interviewed...
I don't care.
You talked to... Remember the time you talked to...
Who cares? This guy... blowing me off, stumbling by. It's like I didn't stick my foot out, right? It was very dark backstage. Very dark back there. Could have had a different impact, different ending to your night, Dick. Right? Tell you. Walk by me. Dismiss. I'm just, all I do is get dismissed. That's all it is. Dismissed. There's a few incidents that stick in my craw. The Dick Cavett is just the latest of these dismissals. There's one I'm not going to get specific on. I was backstage at a thing, and then they did a group photo, and I was like, not asked to be in the group photo. And literally everyone else backstage was in the group photo. And I was standing next to the photographer watching the group. Oh. That one haunts me. I'm telling you. Everyone got in the group photo. Except yours truly. But I get to this show, Running Late, which is at this room, the Slipper Room, which I guess is like a burlesque place. Downtown. The Village. And I go there and I see one of the young men who produced the show with Scott, who's a very nice guy. Very funny show. He's a funny guy. Very handsome. If I looked like that guy, I tell you, I'd be running it. The guy told him last night he looks like a JCPenney underwear model, right? You could picture him just in briefs, right? Briefs and a Hanes white t-shirt. you order underwear, looking at a picture. This guy's very, very funny, very nice guy. I get there. One of his producers. Oh, I got you a Snickers bar. Okay. Thank you. Go upstairs. Another guy. I got you a Diet Dr. Pepper. What do you guys think I'm fueled? What do you think I'm? You think I'm Oscar the Grouch here? Or what? Which one eats candy on that show? Funzie Bear? What is it? The one who eats the trash. He's blue, but he lives in a garbage can. And he always eats snacks. Which one of those is that? The blue one, who's always like, oh, I like snacks. Grumpy? Yeah, on Sesame Street. What? What's his name? Yeah. No, this one is blue. He eats snacks all the time, but he lives in a garbage can. Am I combining two of them into one? Yeah, these mop. Of course, guys. I'm testing you. Yeah. Look, if I don't wind up these Muppet fans once every 3 weeks, I lose my edge. Right now, you know, these Muppet fans are screaming, "It's Cookie Monster! Hey, it's Cookie Monster!" So, yeah, and then I do the show. It's a lot of fun. Show's a lot of fun. Scott's a great host. Good time all around. Still makes me realize I think I need to do some sort of theatrical thing in a room. Me, 100 people. Shut the door. Take all your phones away. I do. We do something, but you have to tell people you saw. So yeah, this Dick Cavett is giving me the hi hat. Tread lightly, Dick. Tread lightly. Best show.
Tom?
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm well. To whom am I speaking?
This is Kevin. Can you hold for Steed?
Can I hold for Steve?
Steed. Yeah. He was tired of holding the phone.
Kevin,
so.
Sure. I'll hold for
Steed. Okay, here's Steed.
Hello?
Steed!
Hi.
Hi, Steed. How old are you?
11.
What grade does that put you in?
Fifth? Yeah.
What's going on, Steed?
I got a cookbook.
You got a cookbook?
From Bob's Burgers.
A Bob's Burgers cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you like Bob's Burgers?
Yeah.
You do? Who's your favorite character on Bob's Burgers?
Tina.
Okay, so that's a good one. You know, I did a voice on Bob's Burgers, right? Did you know that?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't, because I didn't do one. They've never asked me. Here's the fun thing about Bob's Burgers. The guy who created it, when he had other shows to promote, he knew the best show inside and out. Never, couldn't stop hearing from him. Very nice guy. Heard from him to plug that thing all day, every day. Then Bob's Burgers comes along, and suddenly I guess that card fell out of the Rolodex. It's very funny how that works. Very funny.
Yeah.
Now, Steed, what's your favorite subject in school?
Math.
Math. What do you like in math? What do you like? Addition, subtraction?
Coordinates.
Coordinates. What's a coordinate? You mean like saying where you are on a map or a grid?
Yeah.
Like, give me a coordinate, Steed.
-2.5.
-2.5. Now, where would that be?
It would be like in a restaurant or a house.
Okay. Now, how do you feel about tracking individuals so you just always know where they are, Steed?
I don't really feel good about it, but I don't feel bad about it.
Well, okay. So you could go either way on it.
Mm-hmm.
What would you think about, you know, those chips you put into animals, into dogs?
Yeah.
Do you think we should put them into people and we just know where they are all the time?
No.
You don't?
I don't.
Now, Steed.
Yeah?
What summer plans do you have, buddy?
I was going to go to summer camp, but I may be going to Northern Virginia.
Okay. What's in Northern Virginia? First of all, what are the coordinates for What are the coordinates for Northern Virginia? Let's talk about it that
way. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you liked coordinates. My.
I do, but
my.
I don't know every coordinate.
I think I found a coordinate that Steve doesn't like. So you are in the coordinates there, right?
Yeah.
And you're checking the map for Northern Virginia. And what's going to bring you to Northern Virginia, buddy?
A car?
No, like what is the reason you'd go? That's a very funny answer.
Well, my grandmother is kind of sick, and
that's
where she is. They were going to visit her.
I'm sorry to hear that. I hope your grandmother does okay, Steed.
Yeah.
Okay? I hope she does all right.
I hope too.
And starts to feel better. All right, Steed. You should go. You should get in your pajamas and get ready for bed.
Okay.
Have a grand evening. And thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye. Call soon. Call again.
Okay.
Best show. Hey.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yes.
Yes.
What can I do for you, Chief?
This is Sam calling from Los Angeles. So I was just going to congratulate you on your Rolling Stone article. You weren't in Podmast, but you were in Rolling Stone this week.
Article? There was a list that said these are the things to check out. It was hardly an article.
But it was hardly an article. It was very nice.
It was very nice to see. Very nice, very flattering. But when I see that, I'm like, yeah, no kidding. You should listen to the show. No duh. Right? But look, I was very flattered by the same thing. What's going
but
on?
But not
tonight?
Podmas. They write articles about Buffy the Vampire
Slayer. God bless them all. God bless them. The Podmas, they've got the whole thing figured out over at Podmas. They got that thing figured out. God bless them. They got that thing on the day. It's working so well for them. I would never. Yeah, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Get off my phone. Weird, heavy breathing. What's a guy calling from one of those wind tunnels? Said you. Think about where you're calling from, people. Give that some thought. So yeah, so it was a fun night. Thank you to Scott Rogowski and the team over there at Running Late. There were four guys named Alex. I thank all four of them for having me on the show. It's great to see Sal. It's great to be ignored by Dick Cavett. I'll say this. Dick Cavett made them get those pita chips for him, right? They're like a bag of pita chips. He didn't even open them. I'm sure he took the unopened bag. That's low. It's low, Dick. take an unopened bag of pita chips home. You're on my list, bro. Blow me off backstage. We're backstage. It's the Brotherhood. It's the Brotherhood. And then this guy goes out. He's like, oh, I noticed you didn't have any women on the show. Why don't you leave the bill? Why don't you leave? Why don't you surrender your spot on the bill? Me and Sal sell this place out. Got to watch you show up and tell some story about the Groucho Marx. And look, he's a very interesting guy. I like him. He's the one that didn't like me so much. Walk by me, just ignore me. Try to say something. Whatever. Whatever. God bless him.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
Hurts. Just hurts a little bit. Can't say a nice thing. Can't say a nice thing to me. No. Pat was there. Pat, did you talk to Dick Cavett? Did you actually seriously talk to him? He seriously talked to him. So he got introduced to him. Okay. And how long did you talk to him? You got a good minute and a half with Dick Cavett. Oh, great. Strong grip handshake. Well, whatever. More power. I hope he's on your show, Prove It All Night, right, with Pat Byrne, which this Saturday you're doing one of those at the WFMU Performance Space, Saturday, May 6th at 9 p.m., featuring the amazing Kreskin will be there. That's exciting. Comedy from Will Miles, Patty Harrison, and Tim Platt. And a surprise musical guest that I know who it is, but you don't. All I'm going to say is, think about this. What's your favorite kind of bread? Right? Everybody's got the same favorite kind of bread, right? Right, Mike?
Yeah.
Name a favorite. What's your favorite kind of bread?
Pumpernickel.
No, not pumpernickel. You clown. Mike,
yeah.
I could use a cold bath. Okay, you know what I'm going to call you, Mike? And I hope that you don't take this the wrong way. Would you mind if I started calling you Mamacita? Mamacita?
Yeah.
Can you bring me a cold drink, Mamacita? Mamacita, please, Mamacita, bring me a sparkling water, Mamacita. Please, Mamacita.
You like Mamacita.
Oh, thank you, Mamacita. Is that okay if I call you Mamacita?
Yeah, that's okay.
Mamacita.
I like that character.
Well, you are now Mamacita.
Okay.
Mamacita. Feud. It's the greatest. You liked Feud, Mamacita? Reviewing. Oh, and here's the picture of, yeah, great. Picture of Pat and Dick Cavett. Great. Gotta blow me off. I tell you. Watch your, and look, I'm not threatening him. Of course I'm not threatening him. Okay. Slightly humiliating to get shown up like that. We're the show, buddy. We're the show. You see me? I start to say something to you and you just... Ugh. But this feud, I'm saying this. There's a show Feud. Season 1, Betty and Joan. It's Betty Davis, Joan Crawford. Susan Sarandon, Jessica Lange. It's 8 episodes. It's my favorite thing this year. is the Not Difficult People. That'll be my favorite thing later this year. I was talking to Julie Klausner about it, about Feud. She loved it. I love it. It's so great. And Mamacita is played by Jackie Hoffman, and that's Joan Crawford's assistant slash maid slash helper. So that's why I'm calling Mike Mamacita. Who's good here, Mamacita? Three. Best show.
Hi, Tom. My name is Bob. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, great. I just called up to say hello.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for what you did for me because our album's coming out very shortly.
We're trying, and, buddy. We're trying.
I think you're going to like it.
We're trying. We're getting the word out. We're getting the word out, Avalanche Bob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we got exciting things going on, and, I meant to tell you, the movie is being shown in a music festival in Paris now, and, you'll be, that part where you're calling me on the phone is gonna be in there.
Oh, thank God.
And I think that'll help promote the best show too, you know? And, Tom,
Look, Avalanche Bob,
as I said, I want to thank you for everything you've done. You're one of the nicest guys I know.
Buddy, you're a talented guy. I'm glad you're having a good time doing the music. You make a lot of people happy, and they have a good time, and it's very exciting.
Yeah. I want to make things better in the world. That's what my music is all about, and I think it's going to be create a lot of things, and. I want you to be so much part of it because you've been so great, you know?
No, you're sweet to do that, sir.
Yeah.
And I look forward to the movie and the album.
Okay. Hey, Tom, you have a nice night, okay?
You have a great night. You're top of the world, Avalanche Bob.
You too, man. Bye.
All right, bye. Oh, that was very... Hope he's feeling all right. He didn't do any songs. Best show.
Hey, this is Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, quick question.
Yeah, what's that, Kevin?
Your little brother had a friend named Kevin. I'm kind of wondering what his real name was. I cannot figure out who that was.
Well, Kevin, it's one of the mysteries of life, Kevin.
So I'm not going to get an answer.
Email me, Kevin. No, it's Andy Earls, Kevin.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
All right. Best show.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Yes, hello, Tom. This is Jimmy out in Brooklyn. How are you?
I'm good, Jimmy. To what do I owe the pleasure of this call?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was calling in to talk about the movie, Chuck, the Chuck Wepner movie coming out. I was wondering if you and Mike were going to go check it out.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's got Liev Schreiber playing Chuck Wepner, the boxer, and it's co-written by my friend Jeff Fierzig.
Really?
Yes, really.
I remember listening to Fierzig on your show not too long ago, talking about the documentary. That's exciting.
You're sure right. You heard him.
is Mass's in Chuck, you know?
I'm sorry?
Is Mass's bar, does it happen to make a cameo in the
Mike?
Movie?
We're not sure. We got to see the final movie.
Got it. Now, I've seen those ESPN 30 for 30s that Chuck was in. Some of that stuff was shot at Mass's, which I was really kind of blown away by.
Yeah, it's this movie. I'm interested to see how it is. I hope it's magical.
I hope it's good too. My favorite line in the trailer, he walks into like the classroom and he says to like the teacher, whatever, my name's Chuck Wepner. He says his daughter's name, I'm her father, I'm the heavyweight champion. He hesitates for a moment and he says, of New Jersey. And I started laughing because, obviously Chuck Wepner is never the world heavyweight champion.
Well, he was of New Jersey.
Yes, he was the New Jersey heavyweight champion, I guess.
Where are you from, Chief?
I'm originally from Kentucky, but I've been living in Brooklyn for 11 years. So.
Okay, Brooktucky.
There you go, Brooktucky.
Is that what you call it? That's what they call that Brooklyn-Kentucky pipeline.
You know, we've got a we've got a little neighborhood over here. We, you know, Brooktucky crew.
And what do you guys get together and you watch all the games?
No, I'm not a huge sports fan per se.
What do you get to? You do get together? You listen to Squirrel Bait?
Yeah, we watch some horse racing or something like that. You know.
When is that horse race? That big horse race?
I think it's coming up this weekend.
Is it this weekend, Mike? Which horse do you think is everybody enjoying?
Oh, I have no idea. The only horse I know of was one back in the 1980s called Sunday Silence. I only know because I won like a pool. Like I was in a derby pool and won with Sunday Silence.
Maybe I got to buy a horse. Maybe that'll fix everything.
That's a lot of money.
It's an easy way to make money, right?
Yeah, it seems like it. You know, you just get a trainer, just run the horse all the time. It's a sport of teams, Tom.
Look, I could do with it. I gotta keep the costs low. I could probably do this without a trainer, right?
Mike, possibly Dudio.
You think Mike could be a jockey?
I don't know about Mike, but possibly Pats.
Yeah, maybe Pat could be a jockey.
You know, you need a thinner guy.
Yeah, we'll see. But I might go buy a horse. If anybody's selling a horse, let me know.
There you go, horse trading. You know, it's one way to get by.
Maybe we'll get a horse, and I'll. I'm sure if I get a horse, I could just scream at it until it starts to win. Right? Is that how that works?
I'm pretty sure either that or it's the bunny rabbit, right? Or is that dogs? I can never keep track. That's
what if I'm just like, come on,
track.
Come on, you gotta win. I ain't got nothing going on. Win for me, horse. Win.
That's pretty inspirational.
I'm going to buy it. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm buying a horse. That does it.
All right.
You've changed my life. You have a great night.
Excellent.
Now, I do want to say the next caller, it's a little bit of a surprise. I didn't want to hype it up beforehand because somebody who I think is... there's a special guest, somebody we have not spoken to, and somebody I've admired for a long time. It's you like football, right, Mike? Well, this guy played for the Giants back in the 80s, from 83 to, I think, 87, where he set some rushing records that still stand. And everybody remembers when he scored two touchdowns in Super Bowl 21, of course. When the Giants came from behind to beat the Broncos, which was also his last ever NFL game. And then he went on to have a really impressive career and interesting career post-NFL. Starred in a few TV shows, and I'm sure everybody is screaming at their computer now that they know who this is. It's Dick Blevins, and he's a legend. Can only be talking about one person. It's exciting to have him on the show. Let me... Hey, Dick?
Hey!
Dick, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you for calling in, and it's an honor to have a real-life NFL Hall of Famer on The Best Show.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. You know, it's a real pleasure to be here on Great Times.
Uh-huh. Well, my name's Tom. And the show's not Great Times. It's called The Best Show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just got that wrong here. Sorry. You know, I'm a little confused right now. I just got back from Sirius XM where I was doing an interview with this young guy. You might know of this guy. It was hard to tell just how old he was. It was very odd. Like, he seemed like an adult, but he dressed like a 15-year-old boy from the 80s, and he was wearing a big, like, oversized shirt that said UFO on it.
Okay.
Okay, uh-huh. And he was a big Giants fan. Like, he knew his stuff. But every time we get into a groove, you know, to talking about the old days and the great games and the Super Bowl, he'd say that some musician that I'd never heard of was a good friend of his. And then he got distracted by this text from something called John 5, and then the interview was just kind of all downhill from there. So I'm just kind of, you know, still kind of recovering from that, I guess.
Sure. I think I know who that probably was. It was probably Eddie Trunk.
I can't remember his name.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, he took off the UFO shirt and put on a shirt that said Angel.
Yeah, that I would be shocked if that was anybody other than Eddie Trunk.
Got it. Okay. Well, you know, I'll tell you, also, my brain is still in the Bahamas.
The Bahamas?
Yes, yeah.
What's all about the Bahamas for you?
Well, I was down there with the Neutrosfeld gang on their corporate retreat. It was a total blast. Tell you, man, the beaches down there in the Bahamas, spotless. Mm-hmm. And the accommodations were first rate, and the food, as you can imagine, with Neutrosfeld, it was exquisite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a trip that was literally the opposite of the fire festival, huh?
I'm not sure I know what that is. What is?
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Well, I guess let's get back to the football.
Yeah.
Dick, there's so much through your career that I'm dying to talk to you about, that I want to discuss with you. And this actually is a big year because it's the 30th anniversary of the Giants winning that Super Bowl and the 30th anniversary of those two amazing touchdowns and of your final NFL game.
It's crazy, isn't it? I still can't believe it's been 30 years. It seems like yesterday. You know, it just seems like, you know, things that happened so long ago in the past, but they were such a big deal. They're just like, it seems like you're still living in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it just feels like, you know, a second ago I was parading that Lombardi trophy over my head in the locker room, you know, while Mark Bavaro was blasting Touch and Go by Emerson, Lake, and Powell on that ghetto blaster that he always carried around. And, you know, of course we were spraying each other with showers of white liquid, just having a great time.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah, that was a great thing. I just have the ghetto blaster might not be the greatest phrase in 2017.
What do you mean? I don't get it.
But it's a very loaded, offensive thing, I believe.
Well, I'll tell you, we got loaded and were offensive that night after everyone cleared out of the clubhouse, that's
uh-huh.
for sure.
Sure. I'm sure you guys were really partying down after
we were, but you know, I'll tell you, I just feel so blessed to have been part of that team. You know, we were a true unit, and we came together with that one common goal of bringing the aforementioned Lombardi Trophy to New Jersey.
Sure.
You know, I'll tell you, it's like Steve Herbers, the CEO of Nutrisvelt, says, no achievable goal comes without focus, drive, and clarity, and he's so right about that.
That's fair. If you're going to really do something, what was it, focus?
Focus,
yeah.
Drive, and clarity.
Sure, that kind of adds up to a winning formula, I guess.
And when we did, and I'll tell you, that win was extra sweet, not only because it was my last ever game, as you mentioned, but, you know, I'm a Jersey boy to the bone.
Yeah, that's true. You are from, you are a Newbridge native.
Born and raised in the slums of Little Hungary.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a section of Newbridge that a lot of people don't want to talk about, and B, don't want to know about.
Yeah, it's like Newbridge's secret, I don't want to say shame, because that sounds mean to the people who are there, and they're just kind of doing what they can.
Well, it's true. You know, it was a very hard Scrabble existence. You know, we had some of the hardest Scrabble games that I've ever been involved with, it was definitely a winner takes all, you know, kind of aspect of those games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes like you get to choose what you wanted, if you won the Scrabble game.
Okay.
And sometimes it was a hand.
Sometimes it was what?
A hand.
A hand.
Yes.
Like a human hand?
Absolutely, yeah.
Wow, those are rough streets.
They are, yeah, you know, and those were tough times too, Tom. You know, and it's a cliche to bring up goulash, you know, when you're talking about Hungarian culture, but it really was all we had. You know, at times it was used as currency, and you know, we brushed our teeth with it. It was pretty much the only bright spot to our dim existence.
Was goulash?
Yes.
That sounds like the kind of childhood that kind of spurs you on to be the greatest version of yourself.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, and you also, Dick, you played college ball in the area as well, right?
Yeah, that's correct, Sean. I went to Quin Cities A&T.
Uh huh. It's Tom, and
What is it?
Tom.
I don't know why that's not sticking with me. I'm sorry.
That's okay. What do you think my name is now?
Bert.
Bert. Okay, it's really not sticking with you. Wow. No worries.
Okay.
In the field of corrections, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but doesn't the A&T in the Quin Cities A&T stands for it doesn't stand, like most schools, A&T is agriculture and technical, not that for the Quin Cities A&T.
No, it's not. It actually stands for agricultural and television.
And television.
And I had a double major at that point. I was doing agricultural engineering and also advanced sitcom acting.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the latter served me very well in my post-football years. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it definitely did. You are a true. You've there's a lot of chapters in the book about Dick Blevins.
Use the R word. You can. I don't care.
The what?
Renaissance man. Actually, that's two words.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess you're a bit of a Renaissance man.
What's this a bit of stuff?
Okay, well, it's a turn of phrase. I guess you're a Renaissance man. Is that better?
No, you said I guess. It's still like you're not sold on it.
You're
it's
a Renaissance man.
I'm twisting your arm to tell you say it.
You are, you know what? You are definitely a Renaissance man, Mr. Blevins.
I accept that. Thank you so much. That's so nice of you to say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. You know, I guess we can talk more about the TV stuff later, but I still want to just hear some of this football.
Sure. Well, you know, post-college, I got drafted by the Giants in 83, and what a thrill that was to not have to even leave the area. You know, I didn't have to go cross-country and start a whole new life. I was able to stay in New Jersey, and I'll tell you, man, what a gift it was to be taken under Coach Parcells' wing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I might start, you know, getting misty talking about him, but a true teacher of both football and life, you know, the life stuff being even more important than the football, all the football things I learned from him. And, you know, Coach Parcells always said, it may look like you're carrying me on your shoulders after victory, but you're really carrying us all during that.
It may look, what was it again? It may look like, what's that, with that quote?
Yeah, it may look like you're carrying me on your shoulders after victory, but you're really carrying us all during that.
All right, and he didn't write that. That seems like he maybe said it in a, I get the intent of it. It's very.
No, he wrote it. It was on the back of our t-shirts.
I'm not sure about the all during that part of the, if he wrote that, that seems a little clunky, but that's.
I'll be glad to send you a t-shirt with it on.
You know what? I would take you up on that.
Okay.
I'd love to get a shirt, with that catchphrase on it.
Okay. You sound like an extra small.
Uh-huh.
All right?
No, probably a large, extra large.
Oh, okay. I would not have put that voice with that size.
Okay, that's interesting.
I would have guessed 4'8". Are you 4'8"?
No, I'm a little taller than that.
Okay.
Yeah. Well.
All right. But you know, it's funny, Coach Parcells' motto there, it's very similar to the sentiment to the Nutrispelt motto.
Okay.
Which is, of course, the bestest version of you is not the sum of you and you alone, it's all.
Okay. Can I ask you about the when you did join the Giants?
Oh yes, sure, of course.
You were there from 83 to 87.
Right.
And what was that run like?
It was just the greatest. Sure, we worked really hard. You know, those practices, those two-a-days were something else. And in the summer, you do feel like you're going to die out there. I played hard, and to be truthful, I partied just as hard.
Mm-hmm.
And we were a wild bunch of guys, and we loved to have a good time, sometimes too good a time. And, I met so many great people, and I partied with so many great legends from the entertainment world. Oh,
really?
My God.
Really? Anyone come to mind?
Oh, my God. The cream of the crop, off the top of my head, Dolph Lundgren, Fred Ward, Cy Kernan from The Fix, Rutger Hauer, Jerry Speiser, John C. McGinley, Frank Beard, who else? Treat Williams. Bobby Dahl, Paula Poundstone, mm-hmm. The Fabulous Thunderbirds,
wow.
John Lightman, Mark Hamill, who else? Merle Allen was probably my main hang back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, those are some real heavy hitters. Especially
good stuff, right? Big ones. I also dated a slew of total hotties.
Huh, like any names you can give us?
Samantha Fox, who else? Kelly LeBrock, Ann Julian, Maria Conchita Alonso, Kim Wilde, kids of Kids in America fame.
Sure.
Yeah, we got down all over the place.
Wow, that's a crazy list.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, man, those hard partying days eventually caught up with me around summer of 85.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, by that point, I had a serious lemon chutney addiction.
Wow. Oh, my. I haven't heard that in so long. Lemon chutney. Wow.
Yep.
That drug was a total nightmare here in New Jersey.
It ruined so many lives. And, you know, I don't have to tell you, but for your listeners that might not remember it, people would take this and you'd be tearing your face off and feeding it to your pet zebra, you know. Remember that whole pet craze, that zebra pet craze in the mid-80s? That was a whole thing in and of itself.
When a zebra was the pet to have.
Yep.
And suddenly there was like a weird influx of zebras. And then people just as quickly lost interest. Once they realized that zebras were mean.
Yep, very mean. The meanest animal, probably.
Then they were just letting their zebras loose. And now there's still that zebra. Every once in a while, you still see a wild zebra.
Yep. And the bad thing, and it's tied to this, you know, the lemon chutney thing, those zebras, when they were young, they got that taste for face, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now they're just going around trying their best to do some face grazing.
To eat people's faces.
They do, yeah.
Wow. That's,
you know,
yeah.
I guess if you think about it, they're kind of the bath salts of the animal kingdom.
Wait, lemon chutney, or zebras are.
Zebras are, yes.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Got it?
Yeah, I got it, Dick.
I wasn't being smart. It didn't sound like you grasped the...
Sorry, no, you're right.
I was flowing to you.
I maybe overreacted.
Okay,
I apologize.
Well, sounds like someone I'm talking to might be on a little lemon chutney high.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
I'm just busting your bees, pal.
Okay, well, that's all right. That's cool.
So look, so at that point, you know, I'm really in bad shape, and Coach Parcells, he puts me in this evangelical rehab center, which you may have heard of, called Heaven House.
Huh, yeah, I've heard of Heaven House.
And that's where I had to go to kick my addiction warm turkey.
You kicked it cold turkey.
No, warm turkey. Warm turkey is where you continue to get effed up, but in smaller incremental doses until you're clean.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of that as a means of kind of... I didn't know it was called warm turkey. I've heard
it
of
is,
people
yes,
kind of lowering...
Yeah. And then there's hot turkey, which is where you pretend to be stopping, for your doctors, but you're not really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. So you quit warm turkey.
I did, yes, yeah.
And that was a crazy, that's kind of a capper to a very, very intense, crazy era.
Yes, yeah, and there was a lot of weird stuff during that time.
Yeah,
sure.
One thing that I have been dying to ask you,
mm-hmm.
You actually made a few, records during that time.
I did, yeah. It's I'll tell you, it's not something I really want to be known for, and, when I do eventually kick it, I would prefer that not be anywhere in my story. But I had a bunch of musician friends back then, and I had a pretty decent singing voice, so I would because I was famous, I was famous as an athlete, I would get these offers to record songs.
Mm-hmm. And the records were, again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful here, but they were weird records. They were very strange.
They were, and I'll tell you, I was getting clean at that point, and then I'd relapse, so I'd get clean and I'd relapse over and over again during those off seasons, because I didn't have anything else to do. And I'd get really gung-ho about being, wholesome and clean, and I'd cut a gospel record.
Uh-huh.
One was called Bathed in the Holy Blood of Sobriety. And I'd do these church appearances where I'd go, and I'd sing and I'd preach my story, about being down and out and then, finding my way and that sort of thing. And then, inevitably I'd go on a bender and I'd get all messed up again and I'd fall off the wagon and I'd go in and I'd cut a song like This D Isn't Gonna S Itself. And I'd do a run of shows with, like a band like Anti-Scene from Charlotte, who I'm sure is having a Gigi Allen connection.
Tonight, definitely, yes. They had they were kind of in the same, pipeline.
That was a loss, man. I'll tell you, I still can't believe it. How long, it was 1993 that he passed on to thine heavenly kingdom?
Yeah, and he loved football.
He did, I'll tell you. No one knows this. This is a bombshell revelation.
Mm-hmm.
The jockstrap he's buried in?
Yeah.
That was mine.
Wow.
I don't want to tell you how he got it or how I gave it to him, mm-hmm. But
he loved the old pigskin.
He did.
I remember hearing stories about Gigi Allen before shows.
Right.
He would always tour with a football. And that he would just look for people he could just throw the ball around to kind of get loose before a show.
Yes.
And I remember hearing, and maybe you can confirm this,
mm-hmm.
He had a real cannon of an arm.
He did have a real cannon of an arm. And it's funny, nobody could catch those balls. Mm-hmm. Actually, nobody wanted to catch the balls because he put something on the balls before he'd throw them.
Which is kind of the opposite of what a quarterback would do.
Exactly.
You don't want to make the ball uncatchable.
Yeah, he would kind of slather it with something.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Wow. But that, that was a crazy time, huh?
It was, yeah. But, thankfully everything evened out, by that time of Super Bowl 22 and the win, and that was January of 87, and by then I was very much on the road to a full recovery, and I've been able to remain healthy both mentally and physically ever since.
That's truly great to hear, Dick.
Thank you. And I'll tell you, a big part of that is the support and nutrition I get from Nutrisvelt. I found that Nutrisvelt
I just want to keep things more kind of career-based, if you don't mind.
Okay, sure, yes.
You know, we've been getting a lot of tweets from listeners, and they've got some really good questions. Would that be something I could ask you a couple questions?
Oh, of course. I always love to hear from my fans. Absolutely.
Here's someone, at Andy Kindler writes, you've worked tirelessly for the NFL Players Health Fund. Where would you like to see things headed in terms of health care for veteran players?
Well, thanks for that question, Angie. You sound like a very bright girl, and I would love to meet you in person someday if we ever are in the same area. But getting to your question, you know, it's so important to look after our vets and to keep them healthy in terms of, you know, everything from medical attention to whatever treatment they might need, and also, of course, to diet. You know, a lot of these guys were so on top of their physical upkeep while they played the game. But, you know, then, of course, when they stop playing, they want to eat all the things they couldn't eat before. You know, they want to just, you know, have seconds and thirds of dessert and things like that. And they stop taking care of themselves. And when it comes to diet, that's why I love NutriSvelte so much. I think it's a wonderful program. And, you know, from everything from their deliciously naughty yet low-calorie triple fudge drizzled peanut butter nubs to their pepper-rubbed super savory Salisbury steak balls, NutriSvelte has something for everyone who loves good food but also loves looking and feeling great.
Here's another one from Hallie Haglund asks, there's been a lot of debate about whether or not young kids and even high schoolers should participate in football because of serious injury risk. What's your opinion?
Well, thanks for your question, Hal. You sound like a very nice young man. But, you know, I do think it's a very important discussion that's taking place now about our children and whether or not football is safe at all for them to play. And I do think a lot of factors need to be weighed, including diet, let's be honest. You know, so many of our kids don't know the first thing about portion control. And I'll tell you, that's why these NutriSvelte prepackaged fun lunches are such a godsend. Your kids get a balanced yet nutritious lunch that tastes great and won't leave him or her hungry.
Okay, we got one more question for Dick Blevins coming in here on Twitter from Jake Fogelnest out in Hollywood.
Whoa.
He wants to know.
Whoa, hang on.
What's that?
I don't know who that is, but I'll tell you one thing.
What's that?
That name commands respect.
Yeah, okay.
All right, and I'll tell you, there's no way a cat with a name like that isn't verified.
Verified? Right? He is verified.
I yeah. knew it. I could tell. I could just hear it.
You could hear the blue check.
I could, yes.
Yeah, he's verified, and it's not easy getting that blue check. The guy who screens calls for the show still doesn't have one.
Is that right?
No, still can't get the blue check.
Oh, man, I guess maybe it's who you know, this Fogelnoost?
Jake Fogel.
Yeah, is he like a TV honcho or something? What's going on with him?
He's a TV writer and producer, yes.
Ooh, okay. Got some heat. Sounds like some heat there.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, he's. I think he does have some heat.
What kind of music is he into? Sounds like he might be into, let me guess.
What would you guess?
I will guess, who's the band that did the song... Bum 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 bum, bum 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 bum. Correct that whip. Bum 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 bum.
Yes,
it's called Crack That Whip. What's it called?
It's a song called Whip It. Actually,
Whip It.
And that's by Devo, and he is a big Devo fan. Yeah.
See, I'm kind of psychic. I'm like musically psychic, I think.
Wow.
Anyway, what's his question?
His question is he wants to know. Basically, you know, Jake's a TV fan. He wants to know which of your TV acting experiences were your favorite.
Oh man, you know, they were all great experiences, but you know, they were all kind of different in their own way. Like you know, take Father Football, for instance. That was a situation comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like that show a lot. And would you be able to give people who might not know the show, like younger listeners, a quick description of what Father Football was about?
Sure. Father Football, it's the story of a former football legend named Gregory Grit Grummond. It's a great name, right?
Yeah.
And after a great NFL career, Grit looks himself in the mirror and he realizes, hey, my life has no purpose at all at this point. I'm done with football. That was all I worked on my whole life. So what does he do next? He decides to become the chaplain for the football team he played for.
Okay, yeah.
But due to this weird snafu and this red tape, he finds out that he has been appointed the chaplain of a team that's playing in the Women's Football League. A little twist there.
Yeah.
Now, Grit, he's the kind of guy who thinks a woman's place is in the kitchen, most likely serving up one of those delicious Nutrisvelt shakes, right? But now he finds himself spiritually counseling women about their moral dilemmas. Very odd situation to find yourself in. So he's so far out of his comfort zone. But he continues to preach the good book to his flock from behind this regal oak podium. You know, trying to get them to realize that the path to heaven is paved with a strong offensive line.
Yeah, it was a fun show.
Really fun. We had such a blast making it. It was really great.
Yeah, and you actually, that was not your only endeavor.
No.
You did after Father Football. There was a sitcom. It was more of a political show called Mr. Secretary.
Yep, that was a fun one too. I played Teddy Touchdown Mulcahy, and a player who gets injured in the Super Bowl. Okay, and he makes an interception, and he's running for a touchdown when his knee basically just explodes on the 1 yard line. So he almost makes this touchdown, but he's out. He can never play again. And the team loses the game, and basically this guy's the joke of America. And, you know, he's in his hospital bed, and he's thinking, do I even want to live anymore? And he gets a phone call, and it's from the President of the United States. Turns out the President was watching the game at the White House, and he feels really bad for Teddy. So he offers him a job to be his new press secretary. All right,
yeah.
And since Teddy's out of the game, he's got nothing else to do. He accepts the job, and suddenly he finds himself going from the gridiron to the political football field.
Yeah,
and so you know, like this guy Sean Spicer, who I'm a big fan of, Teddy's in the press room every day, and he's briefing the press about what's going on, and he's standing behind this really cool oak podium, and. Tell you, if he thought he knew what it was like to get sacked before, he's in for a very rude awakening now.
Yeah, it was something else, and it was to see you there doing the show from the, like, talking to the press.
Yep.
Up there with that podium and just doing your thing. It was it was a very different kind of show than you'd expect from a professional athlete.
Well, thank you. I think I was particularly good in that one, but I'll tell you, the show I was most proudest of was The Moving Man Mysteries.
The Moving Man Mysteries. I don't know about this.
You don't remember that one?
No.
Well, you know, it was a summer replacement that only ran for 8 episodes, and basically the brass at NBC pulled a combination choke job / ball drop on it, and it just didn't have the time that it needed to find an audience, so that was very disappointing.
Now, what was the Moving Man Mysteries even about?
Well, it was the story of a moving man named Bill Boxinski, who went by the name Box. That was, you know, his nickname.
Okay.
And he ran a moving company. but, you know, there's something a little different about Bill. In addition to lugging boxes, he was also a detective. And he solved crimes while going into different houses to move packages. So, like, one time he's moving a dresser and he realizes, hey, there's dried blood on the corner of this thing. What's going on here? So he digs deeper and he realizes that the owner of the house was murdered. But they found his body in a car accident. That's where he was found dead. So Box starts piecing things together to determine eventually that the victim was killed in the house. And then the body was placed in a car which had, you know, had a brick put on the gas pedal, you know, so it exploded and went into a wall or something. So, and, you know, he would find things like that. He would solve crimes like that. And the cool thing about it, the cool twist was that he was always solving the cases while moving things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so he was always standing behind this, extra fancy tall hand cart that had, you know, was loaded with stuff, with furniture and boxes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I just realized, and never had thought about this before. You're always on the shows you've done. It seems like you're always standing behind something on all the shows, like a preacher's podium or the press secretary podium, and then the hand cart and all the boxes you were moving.
Yeah, it's because I remember my lines.
Wait, what was that? Could you repeat that?
That's because I could never remember my lines, and the only way they could get through like a whole take is if I had my script in front of me and it had to be placed on something. So
they would put you behind podiums.
Anything, yeah.
Yeah.
The podium was easiest because it, you know, like it was actually needed to be there, but, yeah, I'll tell you, man, those outdoor scenes were tough because it would be like, why is he standing behind that car? Like, why isn't his whole body in view? Why is he why is he laying down next to that tree trunk?
And I'm assuming with the Moving Man mysteries, there must have been some action sequences.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, you know, I would eventually we figured out a way where the cart kind of served a purpose of being like my little, almost like my little cop car in a way, you know. So I chase after someone on my little moving cart, but there'd be some boxes on the cart, and that's where my script was placed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the script had to be, of course, the same color as whatever it was sitting on, so you couldn't really see it. So yeah, it was. I'll tell you that. I really didn't want to talk about that aspect of my work, but yeah, thanks.
Well,
I guess.
That's okay. I mean, it's nothing. You weren't a born actor. You grew into it, and you needed a little help.
Yeah. Well, none of us were.
Yeah. I mean, because that was a time when you were not the only football player. There were other football players like Fred Dreyer and Merlin Olsen and Dick Butkus.
Yeah.
Also doing plenty of acting in TV and movies.
Yeah, all those guys. That was a tough time, you know. We'd all find ourselves up for the same role, you know, and sometimes you got it, sometimes you didn't get it. And I tell you, I had a pretty sizable rivalry with Dick Butkus, you know. He'd already been in a bunch of movies, and he had TV experience by then. So I became known as New York Dick, you know, or the other Dick, or worse, you know, because I was shorter than Dick Butkus. I was sometimes called Little Dick.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, which I didn't like at all.
No, I could see, yeah, that might not be your favorite nickname.
No, not at all.
Of the whole bunch.
Yeah.
But, you know, but you still differentiated yourself.
I did, yeah. And I'll tell you one thing. I had better comedy chops than all those other jock actors.
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell you, man. I just wish 3 out of 4 scripted TV shows back in 1990 had been about stand-up comedy like they are today. I'd be the king of television.
A lot of shows about stand-up comedy, although you'd be doing stand-up behind a podium.
That's true, but, you know, I could make that work. I think anything's believable now, right?
I guess so. It's a very... It's... People are so fascinated by how someone writes some jokes and then tells them on a stage.
It is fascinating, and it's fascinating to know all about it, like the where do they sleep? What do they eat?
Yeah, like what do they eat after a show?
After a show, do they go out? Do they drink? Do they hook up?
Yeah.
You know, how do they decide what's going to be in that tight five?
Yeah, like if they
what
go
gets
to,
tossed?
And if they go to a diner afterwards, it's like, are they sharing an order of fries? Or is everybody just eating the fries that come with their burger?
It's true. It's fascinating. It's endlessly fascinating. I wish there could be more shows about it.
Oh, there will be. Don't worry, Dick.
I hope so.
Your wish is going to come true.
I just hope some of them, like, take place in the past. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think those are coming also.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I'm getting ready to shoot a Nutrisvelt commercial this week. And I'll tell you, this is the most challenging thing I've had to do yet.
Why is that?
Well, Tom, anyone who's watched even the smallest amount of TV lately knows that 80% of the commercials airing feature men, women, or children playing the drums. And this new Nutrisvelt commercial is no different.
So you're playing the drums in this commercial?
I am, yes. Can you guess what I'm going to wear in the commercial while I'm playing the drums?
Is it a tiny fedora?
It is, yes. They're the coolest, right? You have one, right?
I don't.
I just got into these things. They're great. They're great fun. They look cool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I actually have a drum kit in my house here, and I'd love to just play what I'm going to play in the thing. I'm really just new to drumming, but I can kind of do it all right.
Oh, okay. Would love to hear some.
You know what that is, right? It's blues.
That was some blues drumming.
Yeah, it's that song Mannish Boy. Have you ever heard that song? It's by Muddy Waters.
Waters.
What is it?
Muddy Waters.
Oh, I thought it was Muddy Walters.
No, it's not Walters. It's Waters.
Well, it's that song, you know, he said something, and then the other guys yell at him, like, he'll say, I was doing this, and blah, and they go, yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, I know the song.
Can you help me with this? What other songs are there where several young men cheer on an elderly man while he brags about his sexual techniques?
I think that might be the only one. I don't know if it's the only one ever. It's the only one I've ever heard of.
It's a genre that's worth exploring. I wish there were more songs like that, because I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I think if you're interested in it, it might be a pretty easy, short-lived hobby for you.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'll tell you, I'm going to turn the people onto it when I get on the set for the Nutrisvelt commercial. Uh-huh. It's going
to
be great.
Hey, can I just? I just have to say, I was when I was asked to do this, it was a straight interview, is what everything was supposed to be, and it's kind of unavoidable here. I guess I have to address the Nutrisvelt elephant in the room.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Nutrisvelt, Tom.
Okay. I actually didn't mention it the way you're looking for me to mention it.
Well, I could tell you were going to,
yeah,
right?
I got to just... Okay, sure. I just have to say...
Yeah.
Every topic I've brought up, no matter what it is, you've managed to divert it to Nutrisvelt, which I have to also say, Nutrisvelt is a very weird name for a product.
What? No, it's not. It rolls off the tongue. And there's no chance at all that you would mishear it.
Nutrisvelt.
Yeah.
It doesn't roll off the tongue. You really seem to be a pretty big believer in Nutrisvelt, huh, Dick?
Of course I am. Are you kidding? Nutrisvelt. felt is it's a life-saving product. It's tremendous, and I'll tell you, I'd be championing Nutrisvelt even if they weren't paying me anything. Mm-hmm.
But yes, they are paying you, and I'm sure they're paying you a lot of money, right?
Yeah, they are. But like I said, it's a life changer, Tom. And I'll tell you, 100% of the people who try Nutrisvelt, they achieve their weight loss goals and they stick with it.
Uh huh. 100% success rate.
Yes.
That actually does not seem possible.
Hey, I've done my research. Now you do yours.
Uh huh. Okay, that's very strange. To put a, I have to prove that. I can just say that if people, like, I'm sure we could all use help trying to stay healthy and stay
right?
fit.
And yeah.
Numbers like that are hard to argue with.
Right? I mean, it's 100%.
You
literally can't go wrong with it.
100%.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Because it's something I'm interested in, but.
There's no buts about this, Tom. It works.
All right. You know what, Dick? I got to say, I wasn't nuts about you working it in all the time, but you're telling me it's 100%. I could use a little kickstarting with this, and I'm going to sign up for Nutrisvelt first thing in the morning.
Don't do it, Tom.
What's that?
Don't do it.
Don't do what?
Nutrisvelt.
Wait, but you... After what you just did on the every question, you hyped Nutrisvelt. You're telling me not to do it?
I have to do that.
Why?
Steve Herbers, the CEO of Nutrisvelt, he's got all this dirt on me from back in the 80s. Real sick stuff. And he forced me to do Nutrisvelt. And now I found myself stuck in this Scientology / get out / the ruin scenario.
Okay, I mean I get the Scientology and the and get out. What is the ruins?
You never seen the ruins?
No.
Well, it's oh my god, it's a scary book. Basically, it was made into a movie that wasn't great, but the book is good. It's these college kids and they go down to Mexico. And they find these ruins that they're looking for, and they are about to like take pictures of it and kind of like have fun on it. And then these local guys come up, the local sheriff, and they see these gringos by the ruins. And then one of them takes a step back, and then they realize that their foot is entwined in these vines.
Mm-hmm.
And once the vines get you, you're done. They can't let you leave the ruins. And they all get stuck in the vines, and they all have to go up in the ruins, and they have to stay there. And if they try to get out, the local sheriff will kill them. So they're stuck there. So that's how kind of I'm stuck in this whole thing. That's a digression, though.
Yeah, that was a scenic route to the... You could have just said it was a Scientology get-out scenario.
Yeah, but I wanted to turn people on. It's a very scary book. Anyway, Tom, the most unsettling part of this whole thing...
What's that, Dick?
Nutrisvelt.
Yeah?
It's made...
Yeah?
From...
Yeah?
Human body parts.
Oh, my God.
Yes!
Oh.
Mainly noses and toe tips, but still...
Oh, that's disgusting. It doesn't matter if it's just noses and toe tips.
I know, right?
It's still human body parts.
I know, it's sick. It's sick. It's a whole sick racket, and then you get addicted to it. It's awful. Oh, no. Oh, no.
What is that?
It's the Nutrisvelt Not-So-Secret Police. It actually says it on the back of their flak jackets. That's really kind of odd, isn't it?
It says Not-So-Secret Police.
Yes.
That is weird.
I don't quite get it. Oh, no. They're going to drag me off to something akin to what that mousy chick from Mad Men gets thrown into in The Handmaid's Tale. Have you seen this?
Pretty
decent show. Very scary. Very weird.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like it. I'm only 3 episodes in.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing. What's Never that? In my life did I expect to tune into that show and hear a Blue Oyster Cult reference. But there is one. See, second episode. Very odd.
That is strange that a show like that would make a Blue Oyster Cult reference.
Very crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're coming in! Oh, no! lasering my ass!
Dick?
Oh, I thought they were done. They're not. Like a sub-laser. It's really getting my haunches. I guess they saved the lower-powered one for your haunches, which I'm not into.
And how do you feel right now?
Oh. Little bad seeds there. Anyway, I gotta go.
Dick? Oh, that's a weird... That is weird. Dick Blevins. Very strange. Very strange. Very strange. Royal Truck. Kids are headed. He better look.
He's out of the corner. On a red horse. The stars. In his teeth. He's all over.
Back again. Here we go. Show's gonna go, what do we do? We started late. Yeah, we'll see how late we go. Are we doing half hour power tonight? What do you guys think? You guys vote. That's a yay for Mike, Mamacita. Dude, you can probably do it. That's a half vote. Pat, you're in? Yeah, we'll do it. Half hour power after the show. Phone number 201-332-3484. Who's good here, Mamacita? Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom.
To whom am I speaking?
This is Marcel from Durham, formerly Marcel from Orlando.
Marcel from Durham, formerly Marcel from Atlanta.
Sorry, Orlando.
From Orlando.
Yeah.
How are you, Marcel? One of the people, if I remember correctly, who did an impersonation of me during the Tom Prescience episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then a guy who was like, I didn't get my contest, my winnings. Right? You wanted
right.
Your winnings. Fair question. Where's my winnings? We got them for you. You got the hookup, right?
Right. You definitely gave me the hookup. I'm also a Patreon submitter now.
Good. Well, that's nice. Thank you for bringing that up, Marcel. And this is why you are a class act as a caller. Because the best show used to do ads. Right? Read an ad for
right.
Razors, do an ad for what would I do? Mamacita, which ads would I read? For sports, for online sports wagering. Fantasy. With money at stake, which is wagering. It was, yes. Not the world's greatest fit for the best show in some ways. Other ways it was great. But you know what? I always knew in the back of my head, and I was always told by people, friends of mine, like, Hayes Davenport, who it's very exciting. You know Hayes Davenport, Marcel?
Oh, of course. I love Hollywood Handbook.
Well, let's just say Saturday Night Live is going to get a new not ready for primetime player next year. I don't know if I actually should have mentioned that. He's in the camera.
Is he going to be writing for them?
On camera. He's on camera. Him and Sean Clements are both on camera. I probably wasn't supposed to mention that, so don't. Let's let that stay here.
Okay.
So. Well, but Hayes was many of the people who was said to me, Wait, hold on. Somebody's just reminded me you have a year-long ban still in effect. Where are we at on this?
It was 6 months.
The 6 months, okay. Marcel. Anyway, it would have been, struck the ban down because of you calling in and mentioning Patreon. So now we've shifted the best show over to a model where it is listener-sponsored. Listeners can donate money over at patreon.com/thebestshow. And you go there, and there's all sorts of levels. You can give $1 a month. That's fantastic. People give $5 a month. That gives you access to exclusive audio. Exclusive audio. We've recorded a couple things are up there that only Patreon listeners can hear, including Games People Play, starring Gary the Squirrel, his guide to improv comedy. And then there was a Sharpling and Worcester Q&A segment up there. And there's going to be more stuff up there, so get ready. We're recording more over the next week or so. There's a sticker that you can get, exclusive only to the Patreon pledgers, a button, a pin. How nice is that pin? Mike's wearing his.
Yes.
So, yeah, so they got pins, and then we have the garbage pack. And I'm going to say this. You go to patreon.com/thebestshow. You support the show there. We need to get a little surge going here with it, a little bit. It's laying low right now. It's time for a little surge, little surge. So go there, support the show. You give whatever you can, and we appreciate it. It's what keeps the show going. It's the only thing that keeps the show going now. Ain't no plan B. Ain't no safety net no more. No, is it? Is it, man? So what's going on, Marcel?
Well, I just wanted to, like, I guess, call back and just, you know, talk about the Patreon, of course, and just say, like, I'm going to give as much money as I can month to month. And also, I recently moved to Durham, North Carolina, last year, and I never got the chance in previous calls. I never got the chance to say that we actually met at the Mortico show. I guess it was last year. I didn't introduce myself as Marcel. I mean, Marcel's not my it's not my Christian name.
Don't worry. But we met. Yeah. We met.
Yeah. And I shook hands with John Worcester, and you were both very nice, and you know, he signed my.
Either of us disregard you the way Dick Cavett disregarded me last night?
No, definitely not. It was great. I mean, I had a little bit of whiskey that night, so, and I was pretty kind of nervous, but I mean, you guys were both cool. It was great, and yeah, you were. It was cordial, and you know, it was just above all else. What matters is just to be cool with your fans.
Well, thank you for saying that. It was a fun night doing a live show in the Triangle, the Raleigh-Durham area of North Carolina. And it was fun, and I'm glad you came out, and I'm glad you had a great time at the show.
Thank you.
Anything else I can do for you, Chief?
Well, I'm also... I'm doing gigs in the Tri-County area, and hopefully beyond that. Can I plug a website?
Sure, Marcel.
MarcelMusic.com. It points to a Bandcamp.
Okay, all right. There you go. MarcelMusic.com. Everyone check it out.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marcel. You have a grand evening. MarcelMusic.com. There you go. God bless you. God bless you, Marcel. So, yeah, this Patreon, we're doing it. I've been sending stuff out, mailing out envelopes with stickers and pins and garbage packs. I was at the post office for almost 3 hours today sending stuff out. I tell you, I've been packing. I've been like a packing fool packing this stuff. You got to see it. Packing like crazy. And I sit there in my house and I'm packing stuff. Thanks to Amy Gottschalk for the help with all this coordination and everything. And I'm watching TV when I do it. I just leave the TV on. Or I'll watch things on demand. Watched 3 episodes of Comic Book Men, which is, I gotta say this. What am I working so hard for? I'm banging my head against the wall trying to get this thing going. Trying to make everything happen. The TV industry has turned its back toward me, as if I am, as if it's the Blair Witch Project, as if I am in the corner, waiting for the witch to do what? Bite my head off? Whatever the witch did in that. So, and look, of course, the strike, it did not happen. The Writers Guild strike was averted. Of course, it happens during a stretch where my stock is at an all-time low and employment is the concept of me being employed by the entertainment industry is a little more than a sick joke at this point. Laughable. Might as well put my name in the hat over at NASA. See about being an astronaut. 10 years ago, not the case. Had a TV show in development. Got killed by when that strike happened. Yeah. Because the studios and networks will just kill off shows in a retaliatory gesture of saving money for Fox killed off a show that we were working on. One of many. Didn't get to do it. Yeah, I'll pay the price on that one. Yeah, don't worry. Other strike. Don't worry, y'all. Yeah, everybody's still as is. Nah. 10 years ago, I ate it. Oh, but don't worry. There'll be a strike in a few years. I'll have something going on by then, maybe. Yeah, that's when I get another thing. So, look. I'm going through all this. They don't want me. The biz don't want me. But I don't want the biz. I don't want the biz. You think I want to work? I was talking to somebody today, and they're like, just so you know, people who you respect you. Yeah, that's not the problem. To respect people, that's not the problem. I generally have a good time with people I respect and them respecting me in return. These other people, the ones I don't respect, they got the keys to the kingdom. It's fine. We all have our runs. Now I'm in the trog portion of my career. I won my Oscar with Mildred Pierce. Now I'm changing in the back of a VW bus so that I can go act in the movie Trog. But you know what? I got one thing and one card left to play, man. The best show! And this Patreon. So yeah, I got something to believe in. The best show. Ain't got much else to believe in. I believe in the best show. So I'm watching this comic book, man. I'm saying to myself, why am I sweating any of this? This is a show. Kevin Smith created. And by the way, just Kevin Smith. More power to you, buddy. I know I made funny over the years. This guy figured out some loopholes that I wish I had the foresight to see the things this guy figured out. You didn't have to make anything. You just have to like things. That's all he did. Yeah, I like Star Wars. I like Batman. That's what he does now. Yeah, I like Batman. I like Superman. Okay. I like Star Wars. That's all we're doing now. We're in a like-based economy. Yeah, I like this. I like that. I like Doctor Who. Oh, really? You like Doctor Who? I like the Avengers. Okay. Hey, these guys ain't making these things. They're just liking them. So he's got this show, Comic Book Men. It's in this, like, its 11th season, this thing. It's been on forever. Comic Book Men. It's a reality show. I use that word very loosely. It documents the adventures, and I use that word very loosely, of these four TV stars. I use that word very loosely. These four comic book store employees who talk about the things they like. And then Kevin Smith shows up. They do a round table. And then they show this stuff in the store. It's some stagiest stuff I ever saw. These are things on Shakespeare's less stagey than this. These four guys are sitting. First of all four of them are sitting at the register, just waiting. No one else is in the store. Then here comes somebody. I saw one episode. This girl comes in. 22-year-old girl. I'm 22. Young 20s. Super attractive girl. Comes to this comic book store with a Mork from Ork doll that she's trying to sell. This couldn't have been phonier. This is the phoniest thing I ever saw in my life. Hi, I want to sell my Mork from Ork doll. And I'm watching this stuff in these envelopes. Stuff and still one at a time, one sticker at a time, one pin at a time. I'd like to sell my Mork from Ork doll. And then 5 minutes of my time, at least, is taken up watching them negotiate over how much did they pay for the Mork from Ork doll with a $10 swing in the negotiating. How much were you hoping to get? I don't know, 50? I could give you 30. What do you think, 40? Maybe 33. And what, 35? Okay, yeah. Oh, God. This is the drama of this show. Has there ever been a lower stakes show on television than a negotiation on Comic Book Men? Guy comes in. I got these, this comic book, want to sell? Oh, wow. How much you want for that? I was hoping to get $120. Hey, the best I could give you is 40. Okay, well, maybe 60. Hey, how about 50? Okay, it's a deal. The stakes could not be lower on the show. And I'm sitting there watching episode after episode, stuffing these envelopes. And I'm saying to myself, why am I trying to make things? Why don't I just like things? Right? Yeah. Why don't I just like things? So you know what I'm going to do? From now on, the best show just likes, we like Guardians of the Galaxy. Best show. We're huge fans of Guardians of the Galaxy. Other things we're looking forward to, Baywatch movie. Just going to like stuff. Look, Claire O'Kane, the comedian Claire O'Kane, was just like, man, maybe that's why you're not succeeding in things. Because you hate everything. First of all, not true. I don't hate everything. Maybe it's because I come after, I tease people in the biz. I still don't know if that's true. Look at Andy Kindler, this guy. He fights with Ricky Gervais all the time. This Andy Kindler couldn't be, wait, actually that's not, oh boy, uh-oh. Oh, boy, what am I doing? Oh, no. I have read the wrong playbook. Yeah, so I'm watching that. What else was I watching? Mamacita, what else was I watching? Oh, I watched Suicide Squad again. It was on demand. I just left it on. It's sick. It's worse than I thought it was. It's actually worse than I thought it was when I saw it in the theater. Worse. Can you imagine? Somehow that movie's worse. Now, okay, Claire O'Kane's tweeting over it at Baby's First Gun. You didn't say it like that. You're right. You didn't say, "Ooh, you're negative." No, I opposed it as a question, a panicked question after a discussion we were having. Like, hey, am I too negative? And you're like, I don't know. Then it spun out of control in my head. I don't know. Look, But she's got it figured out. She's actually focusing on being funny. I'm focusing on complaining about the comic book men. Played it wrong, but I can play it right now. I like stuff here. We like stuff. You know what I like? Patreon. You pledge over there. We're sending all the things out. I've been sending the, almost everything is mailed out now for people who are getting the garbage packs, which is a super pack of all these different Best Show related things. And the buttons are beautiful. These pins, so nice. Really, and it is how the Best Show stays on the air now. So I'm packing the stuff up. I'm at the post office mailing these things out all day. Today I'm at the post office. And then mailing the things out. And at the counter next to me, this guy comes in. And he goes to the window next to my window. This older fella. Walking along. He goes up to the counter next to me. He goes, they're like, how can we help you? And then he goes,
my mail has been stopped. I haven't gotten any mail for a week.
This guy looked kind of like the dude from Tickled. Looked kind of like the dude crossed from Tickled. Crossed with the dude from Tickled. Did you see Tickled, Mike?
Yeah, I did.
Did you like it?
Nah.
Oh, you found it creepy. Well, finally, something has upturned the apple cart over there. Mamacita didn't like Tickled. Yeah. No one liked it. Because there's two, who's the creep in that thing? Two guys flying halfway across the world to film a creep, to chase a creep down, or the creep. It's all creep. It's like a creep fest. It's a race to the bottom. So this guy next to me,
they stopped. I haven't gotten any mail all week.
And he's getting so loud. They're like, what's your name? And he starts going,
I'm a detective.
And he named some detective agency. I'm telling you, this guy, what's this guy detecting? The only thing this guy would detect is when the early bird special starts. This guy went to, you're in trouble if you hire this gumshoe. Right? Be those. Chinatown 8 with this guy in it. End of the Chinatown franchise.
I'm not getting my mail. It's been a week. I'm a detective. The blah, blah, blah detective agency.
And then they're like, all right, well, let's go check in the back. And then I'm telling you, no joke, this guy turns. I wouldn't look at him. Like, I wouldn't let him see I was looking at him. He turns. He starts looking me up and down. Like, oh, what are you, Sherlock Holmes? You piece in the thing. None of your business. Look away before I wrap you in the mouth. You're going to piece together the mystery of the guy shipping out packages that are all the same size? Because I got tubs of packages. I'm shipping them out. Okay, looking at me. No, he's Sherlock Holmes. Nothing eludes his perceptive,
look. Let me see what this guy's got going on. Three boxes of packages, all similar shaped. Looks like they're being sent priority. Wonder what that could be. He's got a phone on the counter, okay. Interesting. And I see he's got a wallet from his right front pocket. I can see the outline of a wallet. What's that I see next to the phone? Keys.
Stop looking. I mean, I tell you, this guy was like breaking me down as if he, like, he's trying to piece the case together. Then the post office, the poor employee at the post office comes back to the thing. Like, yeah, we figured out. Here's your mail. Yeah, it was stopped by a guy. And then he's like, just like the name, I don't know what the name, what was the name? It was like Spatsky. Yeah, like, you know, Fred Spatsky stopped it. Spatsky. I fired Spatsky last week. He has no right to stop my mail. Spatsky stopped my mail. I can't believe this. I haven't gotten my mail in a week. First of all, what mail is this guy getting? What's he getting? Bed Bath & Beyond catalog? Retainers. Yeah, oh, retainers, yeah. 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 Dear, 78-year-old detective, please help me. Please, I think my wife's cheating on me. Help me. Well, I can sort of do some surveillance on the situation. Is your wife going to be eating at Hometown Buffet anytime soon? Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, then I can't. Is there any chance your wife will be at McDonald's in the morning where I'm nursing a small cup of coffee for 4 hours while reading a copy of USA Today that someone left behind? Probably not. Yeah, I don't know if I can surveil your wife. Let's just say she's cheating. Spatsky can't stop my mail. Because I'm saying to the guy, the mailman, I haven't gotten any mail in a week. Oh, this detective. And look, this guy's old. We all get old. Everybody gets old. Everybody's getting old at the same rate. Don't suddenly talk about something, but boy, that person got old. You know who else got old? Everyone got old. Everyone gets a year older after a year. It's the way looking at me. That's what's making me make fun of you on the radio. That's why I'm doing it. You're making you staring at me. Weird. Like he thought he was slick, too. Like I could see him doing it like he was looking like side-eyeing me. And like clocking the details. Save it. I'm pro Spatsky. Glad he stopped your mail. With weird catalogs. What do you got? Weird. What's this guy getting? Harry and David catalog? Right? We're going to order some fruitcake? In May?
I might want to send a fruitcake. Hey, it's been like a week.
And he kept like reiterating. And then they go, hey, do you have any ID so we can give you your mail?
No, I don't.
And like, you have nothing? He's like, oh, well, here's this. And he finds, giving him something. And it's just like, well, no, it needs to have the business name on it, not your personal ID.
I don't.
And finally, he figures out he's got a credit card with the business name on it, so they give him his mail back. Clocking it. A nosy creep staring at me. Detective. Maybe I'll be a detective. Tell me I couldn't solve cases. Oh, my God. Can you imagine how easy I'd solve cases if I put a shingle out? Right? I could solve cases. Seriously, think about that, Mamacita. Right? I'm in my office. Are you the receptionist? What's that? No, you could be. It's 2017, Mike. We got to shake things up. Here comes Mamacita. Someone's here to see you. Right? Then here comes like some some, you know, comes in the office, right? Sexy lady.
I can't find my husband.
All right, lady, it's, how much would I charge? $500 a day plus expenses? That's a little steep. $300 a day, that's a little cheap. $300. That's $1,500. Will you charge on weekends? Can you charge on weekends if you're a detective? All right. Yeah, I worked on a mystery show for 8 years. I know these things are done. I know the mysteries are done. What do you want, Mamacita? It will weird the clients out. Why is he calling that guy Mamacita? I'm only saying it over and over so it sticks, by the way. It's the only reason. So 6 months from now when everybody's buying a Mamacita t-shirt and Dudio's still wondering what happened to my shirt, what happened to Slawdog's shirts. Mike's on his third shirt. That's where it comes from. Dudio?
Yeah.
That's very formal. That was a very cold, yeah. Yeah. Dudio? Yeah.
Yes.
Like, and now it sounds, now it's over accommodating. What? Yeah. I tell you, I can't win. I can't win. I can't win. What were we going to do? Slaw Dog shirts?
I think we talked about it.
Do you still want to do it? Well, you got to mail them out and everything. You think I'm going to mail them out? All right, maybe we'll figure it out. Figure out a Slaw Dog design. If these things flop, I don't want to hear you complaining about it. If these Slaw Dog shirts are a flop. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm opening a can of worms out there. If these Slaw Dog shirts flop, Dudio, Mike is going to be off. Oh man. Mike will just be like, yeah, I sold so many massive shirts. I'm having a hard time selling Slaw Dog shirts. It's Dick Cavett. Just popped in my head for a second. Bustling by me. Try to say something. Oh, he literally went like, oh, yeah. That was him saying something nice to me. He said something nice to Sal, and then he saw me, and he went, oh, yeah. What's that?
Remember the time you interviewed Gregory Peck?
Who cares?
Then there was the time you interviewed Robert Mitchum.
Jump in a lake. Put me down. Best show. Hi, hey, best Tom. Show.
Hello, Tom? Yes.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
This is Sam.
Sam, what can I do for you, Sam?
So I was calling actually because I was in a mall during an Impractical Jokers thing, but I recognized one of them.
Jersey
instantly.
Garden? What mall?
This is, I don't know how familiar you are with the area, but you just got changed. I couldn't even think of a mall, so I had to change you.
Oh, it's changed. Hey, how are you, buddy?
Oh, man, I got you so good, Tom.
You did get me, James. It's good to hear from you. It's good to hear from you, buddy. What's going on? He actually hung up. It's James. He's back again. This guy's doing better than I am. James. This guy's staffed up. Right?
Yeah.
James getting his packet out there. Let me say this about James for people who don't know. This guy James used to call the best show back in the past. And I was excited to just hear from him. First of all, great job screening, Mike. No, you just got to give me a heads up. Is he banned?
No, you're supposed to tell me it's someone. You're supposed to say, hey, Mike, hey, Tom, I think James is on line one. Not, well, he's not banned. I'll let him through. Yeah, you know, it's not banned. There's plenty of people not banned, right? No, just but I would love to get the one up on him. Yeah, but I would like to get him a second time. Oh, so why is this news to you, Mamacita? So, he used to call the show and he would do this thing where he'd ask a question, just like he did right there. He asked me a question and then he would just say, you got Jamesed. This is James, you got Jamesed. And he'd hang up. And I got him a couple times. But you know when I got him, I didn't need to get him because I life got him. I met this guy. I was at one of the WFMU record fairs. I was at this last record fair, the WFMU record fair of the week, and that was a lot of fun to be there and see everybody. Mostly nice to me. Couple sour lemons in the bunch. What else is new? Couple people not happy to see me. What are you going to do? Who cares? I don't love looking at you either. 99% of the people couldn't be greater. That's a high batting average. 1% jump in a lake. Who needs you? It's fine. This is great. So, an old record for this guy comes up to me. Sweaty. Hunched. The most nervous. You'd think this was a guy in the witness location program when in a room full of mobsters. He comes into me. He comes up.
Hey, Tom.
Oh, hi. How are you?
It's me, James. My name's not actually James, and he tells me his dumb name.
And he's sweating so much. He's got this hairpiece, which was real cheap, first of all. He's sweating so much, the hairpiece is sliding forward on his head. So now he looks like, what's his face? Remember that weirdo who was, the governor of Chicago or something with that hair? Remember that guy? What was his name again? Blagojevich. Great guy. His hair looked like that. Like he had bangs. Like that guy had some pretty fierce bangs there coming down. I think they started at his nose. So, yeah. Oh, it just popped in my head, Dick Cavett again. Oh. Phone number 201-332-3484. Would that be a good episode of Feud, a good season of Feud? Me versus Dick Cavett? Season 4. But I'd have to do more with this guy. What would be, let's talk about that. Who should do future seasons of Feud? 201-332-3484. So look, everybody who gave to the Patreon, the stuff's getting mailed out. Want to give a shout out to my friend Jeff Owens, who designed the Best Show logo. One of the things you get in the Best Show at the Patreon, you can get the new sticker, which Jeff did. It's the Bad Company styled Best Show logo. And then there's the pin, which is the logo that Jeff designed. You can check all Jeff's stuff out over at MyMetalHand.com. He's got all sorts of stuff for sale. He's a great artist. Check out everything Jeff T. Owens does. MyMetalHand.com. That would be a good episode, a good season of Feud. Kindler versus Rick Gervais, right? That'd be a good one. Who would play Andy Kindler? Who'd be good to play Andy Kindler? Gary the Squirrel? Think Gary the Squirrel could do it? Play Andy Kindler in a season of Feud? Greg Kinnear? I tell you. Dude is going to, I know he's heading to California. I can feel it. I can feel Dudio. Dudio's got the California vibes coming off. He's wearing a Red Hot Chili Pepper shirt tonight. He's talking about how the new guy is not a bad guitarist. The Gallagher brothers? I'll say this. Which Gallagher brothers? Gallagher 1 and Gallagher... I'll say this. I'd like to see a feud between Liam and Noel Gallagher would be great. Two members of the world's most average band. Right? That band's average. Come on. I see these people talk. I'm like, go get a Beatles record instead. Right? So in case you worried, you didn't know what it would be like if the Beatles did Ecstasy at a festival? Is that the difference? No, they're great. I'd love to see it. Those two fighting. But the Gallagher brother, Gallagher 1 and 2 are who I'd want to see. You know, Gallagher, the sledgehammer swinging comedian. And then when he franchised out his brother to kind of play smaller clubs as Gallagher 2. And then he started doing shows, I think, just as Gallagher. Gallagher 2 started like disregarding the restrictions put on performing as Gallagher 2. And then they started fighting. I would. Which one would you rather see? Which one would you rather see? Dudio?
Gallagher 1 and 2.
Yeah, me too. Pat? Yeah, Gallagher 1 and 2. Gotta watch a guy in a Mac yell at his brother. Like, you talk about the one guy in Oasis like he's a genius. He just keeps the Beatles records from the other guys. They think he comes up with the stuff. Oh, put that down. Like, sees somebody reaching for like a revolver, he slaps it out of their hand. Best show.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Tom.
Yes, hi. Welcome.
Hey, this is Travis.
Hi, Travis. How are you?
I'm good. You were talking about Feud. Another good one would be Carlos Mencia and Joe Rogan.
That'd be a good episode of Feud. A good season. Is that a think? Can we do a whole season about it though? That's what we have to figure out.
Oh man,
do you think Mencia versus Rogan is a whole season?
Absolutely. Yeah. Worth two seasons, three even.
All right, stop pushing it. You're being silly.
No way.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Chief.
Okay.
Three seasons of Carlos Mencia and what's his face fighting. No thanks. But the Gallagher ones—that would be the greatest thing you've ever seen. Gallagher and Gallagher 2? Someone's got to be working on a movie of that, right? Of the Gallagher brothers? And they could both play each other like the way, what's-his-face is Ewan McGregor in Fargo. Who should be on Feud? What should be the name? I think the next season of Feud is Charles and Diana, if I remember correctly. I think that's who the next season is. That'll be good. I certainly hope, seriously, I hope we never see an episode where it's a season of a Feud where it's Brian versus Ming from Comic Book Man. Oh, God, no, please. What's that? Yeah, season 11. What if they did a Gallagher one where it's about both Gallagher sets of Gallaghers? You just call it a Feud. Gallagher versus Gallagher versus Gallagher versus Gallagher. Right? And then it's a little different than the first season in that huge stretches of it didn't happen. You have Gallagher 2 hanging out with Liam Gallagher. And then they're like, he's like, man, it's a sledgehammer. You smash fruit with it. And then he's like, I think I'll smash some Beatles records with it. Right? He sets a watermelon on top of his copy of Magical Mystery Tour. Smashes it. Gary, this is Feud, season 48. Gary the Squirrel versus AP Mike. I don't know about that. It's a very one-sided fight. I think Gary won that one handily. Sorry, Mamacita. Best show.
Hi, this is Oscar from Elgin, Illinois.
Oscar from Illinois. What's up, Oscar?
I got one for the topic. Carlos Santana against everyone else.
Wait, Carlos Santana?
Yes.
The guitarist from Santana?
Yes.
Against everyone else?
Yes.
How?
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You could please explain.
Well, there's been kind of a controversy where he took out that guitar tone from this other Mexican guitarist named Javier Batiz, and it all started from there. It also made me think of the relationship he had with John McLaughlin, and then out of nowhere, how he just got big with Supernatural just by grabbing all these artists. So I feel like he's kind of like grabbing everyone as a pawn just to make himself better.
So you're not a fan of Carlos Santana?
Just the first three albums, that's it.
Right? Those are the good ones.
The best ones.
Yeah. Oh, and we heard Royal Trucks before that. I totally forgot to say what we heard. In a very, speaking of Santana sounding, Deep Country Sorcerer from the Pound for Pound album by Royal Trucks, who are coming back. Got some shows lined up this year. Got a record coming out.
I'll check them out.
On Drag City Records, Royal Trucks, all-time greatest band. So what, you really, those first three records are all you need, but you know what? Most people don't have three records that you need.
That's true. I really feel like the reason that those three albums are amazing is because of the percussive work in the rhythm section, not him, but the band.
Somebody said Bill Nye versus Neil deGrasse Tyson. Look, what's the deal with this Bill Nye stuff? I don't get it. I might be too... Did I miss it?
Have you seen the show, maybe?
But what? Why does he call himself a science guy? What is that, a qualifier? Like he's not a science...
Trying to make... Trying to dumb down science for
I
kids?
Prefer to watch a show about a hosted by a scientist, not a science guy.
I agree.
Look at this. This is sick. Sharpling versus Gethard when Fred pits them against each other. You know this Fred from Honolulu? This guy who calls the show every once in a while, this crackpot.
He's back in the picture. I kind of missed him. I haven't heard his voice in like months.
Say, I agree with you. I thought he was gone. I thought we got rid of him once and for all. I thought he moved on because the one thing that Fred never wanted people to know is that he, first of all, was not from Honolulu. He's from a town called Windsor Heights in Massachusetts. And he would vacation in Honolulu and call the show while he was on vacation. His name was actually Fred from Windsor Heights. He never wanted that known. It's fine. It's out now.
Is he a Celtics fan?
Oh, yeah. Huge Celtics fan.
So you should be happy tonight. They won.
Did they win? Whoop-dee-doo.
Yeah. Overtime, 129-119.
That's great. Of course, everybody feels bad for the one guy, Isaiah Thomas. It's the worst thing ever. His sister died right before the season started in a car accident. Just the absolute inconceivably horrible. But he's like, I have a hard time rooting against the Celtics with him. But those other Celtics sure bring it back. For how to root against the Celtics. Those other guys. Marcus Smart. Oh, brother.
Well, and I know this is kind of an unpopular opinion, especially since I'm from Illinois, but I'm kind of happy to beat the Bulls because I'm not a fan of management right now.
Well, look. You got all those championships. You don't get to say anything ever.
I agree.
Thanks, buddy. Who's good here, Mamacita? Two? Best show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
This is Austin from Alaska.
Austin from Alaska. What's up, Austin?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm good.
I was calling in about ideas for your feud.
Yes.
Yeah. I was thinking... we could do a season with you versus every other podcast that you don't like.
What other podcast don't I like?
Hamburger Men. I don't remember the name of it.
Hamburger Men, where they'll be like, "Well, I think I was not happy with the little cups that the ketchup was that you could put the ketchup in at this Hardee's. I found the cups to be flimsy, and I was worried the ketchup would start to leak through at a point. But that's fine. Look, those guys are making more money than God. Best Show's doing well too. Best Show's doing well now too, because you know why? That's the only thing separating us. From the sea of filth is this Patreon. I want to look at this, see what these Hamburger Men are doing. God help me, I think they have a Patreon too. Yeah, they do. Good for them. Go help Patreon. Go help the Hamburger Men too.
Well, your Patreon's not doing bad.
Nah, it's good stuff, man. We're only just getting started. Get ready. We're only getting started. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Doc.
Yeah. What do I have to be thankful for this year? A lot of stuff. Good and Poochie, my dog. Greatest dog ever. I won my fantasy basketball league handily after being in the playoffs, the finals, for 3 years running. I make the finals a fourth consecutive year. Unheard of, by the way. Unheard of. rolled to the championship. Yeah. In the face of some of these other guys in the league, there's this guy, Not Giamatti, at Not Giamatti, former champion. Doesn't wear it well. That's all I can say. I'm not going to put this guy down. Just didn't wear it well. Was not graceful about his victory. Trumpian, I would say, the way he did it. Me, I wear it well. I won the thing. Means I'm the greatest ever. 4 years in a row in the finals, winning, finally. Untouchable. Wally Wacky Man would be good for Wally Wacky Man versus Gary the Squirrel. Oh, see, Claire O'Kane just flagged me. Guess I'm not going to be working with Bill Nye now. Got to flap my gums about that. There goes that chance. You did it again, Tom. You're not going to be working with Bill Nye. For the week. And this, let's lay this one on the table. This Matt from Oakland who calls. Who thinks that's the real guy in Blink 182? I don't know anymore. What do you think, Mike? I think it's a trick. I'm starting to think it's a trick now. Yeah. What's that? You think it's him? I think it's a trick. I'm feeling like it's a trick. Best show.
Hey, it's Paul from Saratoga, PA.
Paul from Pennsylvania. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I was going to talk about TSOL. Remember that band from L.A.?
Yes, True Sons of Liberty.
That's right. There's kind of a feud where not only did Joe Wood take over as the singer, but he also married the ex-singer's sister.
Wait, say that again?
Not only did Joe Wood take over for the original singer, but he ended up marrying his sister, and there was quite a feud going on there.
Well, I mean, it's not Game of Thrones where he conquered the kingdom and claimed his sister. His sister clearly would want to get married. Right?
Right. But, well, you know, great music with both versions of the band. But also, you know, a little bit of...
But what's the controversy? Well, let me in on the controversy here.
The controversy?
That the guy married the other guy's sister?
You know, I'm not exactly sure, but...
So you don't even know what the controversy is?
I know what the controversy is. Controversy is, like, fans of the band are usually fans of the original incarnation of it. But I think the Joe Wood stuff is a lot better.
So they don't like the fact that this new dude's the singer, and... That he married who now? So confusingly not uninterestingly confusing somehow.
Yeah, I guess so.
So who did he marry? Just help me out here, please.
Well, I guess it was like the early to mid 80s. He married the original when they were like a punk, whatever, hardcore kind of band. And they went kind of in the hair metal version, which is still good, sounded like the Cult. It was cool. That's kind of where. Well, I guess they got back together years later, and everybody was like, "Oh, all that, you know, '80s hair metal stuff is bad," but I think it's some of their best stuff. So,
okay, well, oh, I truly did not mean to hang up on that guy. Oh no, that I swear to God, that was an accident. That was not meant to happen. Oh, no. I've done it. I do it plenty of times meaning to do it. Didn't mean to hang up on that guy. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to hang up on you. Well, that said, not a great episode of Feud. maybe not a great season when the guy marries the sister of the other member of the band. What are we doing here? Phones are empty. Phones are empty. This is unbelievable. Is this where we're at now? That's all right. I appreciate it. Means people ain't calling the willy-nilly. That detective, I'm telling you. You should have seen that guy. Spansky. Spansky can't stop my mail. I fired him last week. This is where you know it's at, when you hear Mike saying to the person, the people calling in, why did you call? So why did you call? Well, this should be a great call. Best show, hi.
Hello?
Yes, hi. Yeah, you're on. Hey!
Oh, me?
Yes.
Oh, hey. How's it going?
What's your name, Chief?
My name's Ryan.
Where are you calling from, Ryan?
I'm calling from Spearfish, South Dakota.
South Dakota. How's everything going in South Dakota tonight?
Well, the air is brisk and, well, not a lot's going on, like usual.
What are you worried about there? Landslides? What is it? Avalanche? What's the big fear in South Dakota? What is it? Moose stampede?
I ran into a herd of elk today. That was kind of spooky. There's mountain lions.
So you're worried about getting bit by a mountain lion?
Yeah. Well, I guess what they like to do is attack from behind. And so you really have to watch your back in the Black Hills.
I'm so ready for you to say something stupid. You don't know. I could not be more. And this is not to say you are stupid or you're going to say something stupid. There's something about your rhythm that makes me feel like this guy's up to something. Ryan? Hey, Ryan. Yeah. What do you? Two pals just talking, me and you. What have you been doing tonight? Right? You can say. Smoking a little bit of that old. Right? You can say it. Right? What are you doing?
No, not
you
at
hitting
all.
You hitting that bong? Right? Right?
No.
What's the name of your favorite bong? What do you call your favorite bong? You can say it. Say it on the air.
Oh, I don't have a favorite bong.
They're all your favorite. It's like your children. You can't pick a favorite child.
Oh God!
So what's going on, buddy? You seem anguished.
Well, I'm just studying for some finals.
For what?
And
what school are you going to?
Oh, you know the one.
No, I don't know. What are you being so vague? What are you worried about getting in trouble?
No.
Are you in college?
Yeah.
And what are you studying for? What do you want to be, Ryan?
I'm studying alien abductions and paranormal activities.
Well, this sounds like a great school. Who's the teacher? Is it George Norrie? Who? Major Ed Dames? Right? What are you minoring in Mel's Hall? What's going on here? Art Bell U? Alien abductions. Okay, let's talk about alien abductions.
Okay.
Tell me about them, please. I'd like to hear. I seriously would like to hear about an alien abduction. What kind of alien?
I think
we're dealing with grays. You think we got grays running around amongst us? Are they amongst us? The aliens?
Well, I guess you could say that.
Well, give me your opinion. I want to hear it.
I don't want to.
Then drop dead. Seriously. I don't want to. Go away. I never came so close to cursing on the air. Oh, my God. I'm going to say this. If this is the product I'm putting forth to you, the Patreon listener, I owe you an apology. If this last 45 minutes, it is not representative, I owe you an apology. The best show listener, I'm going to do right by you. Sure. Am I tired? Yeah, I'm tired. I ain't slept in 2 days. I did the show last night, the Scott Rogowski show. I started packing mail orders as soon as I got home to get out the Patreon stuff. Yeah, I was packing those. And then I didn't sleep well. I was kept having dreams of Dick Clark blown me off. Dick Cavett blown me off. I tell you. Where does this guy think about it? Seriously. Oh, he's a great talk show host. Is he? Really? No, just because he talked to people who are dead now. That's the only reason we like him. Because he's still here. I'll give him credit. He did some great interviews. He talked to John Lennon. Right? You don't think I could talk to John Lennon? If he was still around? God, blew me off. Should have seen. He couldn't even look me in the eyes. As he ducked past me. Should have gone out during a segment, done the ice bucket challenge right on his head. Right? Drop a cold bucket of ice water on his head. How tall is he? Yeah, he ain't tall. That's not a problem, though. God made us all different, Mike. He's intimidated. Yeah. He had two guys with him, two, like, muscle. I'm surprised they didn't throw me out of the backstage area. Yeah, he had some sort of muscle with him. I wonder if they're just scoping things out. If they talk into their wrists. Best show.
Chica checking in, Papa.
Oh, my goodness. Look who it is. It's BB from Las Vegas. One of my favorites. How are you, BB?
I rule all that I survey.
You rule all that you survey?
Yes, sir.
I was talking to somebody a few days ago, and they said, you know who my favorite caller on the whole show is? And I was like, let me guess. And they said, okay, go ahead and guess. And then I named two people and then named you, and they were right. They're like, yeah, BB, greatest caller.
Oh. I thought Hannah was pretty sweet, though, man.
The little
for
kid?
12-year-old, she was quite aware.
No, that was a good kid.
Yeah, she's a doll.
Yeah. What's going on in Las Vegas tonight?
Well, nothing in particular. Not right now. It's kind of quiet. The NAB show just ended. That's right.
NAB, what's that?
National Association of Broadcasters.
Oh. Yeah, I wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah, it's just a big grease fest.
Yeah, used to be where the field I worked in. Not anymore. I'll be at some aluminum siding convention. Me and AP Mike. Right? Maybe that's what we should do, Mike. Good old, like, tin men. Right?
Tin men.
We'll drive around selling aluminum siding. Who? Ronnie Dangerfield? Who's Ronnie Dangerfield? Rodney? Rodney Dangerfield. He did. I'm going the other way. He went from selling aluminum siding to working in entertainment. I'm going the other way.
It's good to diversify.
Yes. I have a diverse portfolio.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
And an oxyacetylene blowtorch welding kit.
That's what I would need to have in my trunk?
Yeah, you gotta always gotta have one of those.
Why?
Well, first of all, you can repair anything that falls off your car. And if you get bored, you can fill an air mattress with it and then set it on fire and it blows up and it shakes the ground.
If you get bored, then you blow. I don't know if I've ever gotten so bored that I'm just like, oh, I'm bored. I think I, what should we do? Man, I'll blow up that. Let's start pumping some flames into that air mattress.
You can people blow up abandoned cars like that.
I'm reading this book, Count of Monte Cristo. It's taken me so long. I think that's part of why I'm in a bad mood. I feel like I'm frozen in this book. Like, I can't. I'm reading this thing. It's so slow going because I've been so busy I haven't had a chance to read it. Then I go back and read it, and I move 25 pages. I'm on page 650. It's 580 pages to go.
Is the same guy who wrote the Three Musketeers?
Yeah, it is.
Was this a big follow-up?
Which one came first? I don't know.
Good heavens.
What am I going to do, baby? Just think. Should I make another run at the biz? There's no role for me. Do I pick myself back up off the mat?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea. You're a young man.
Do I throw myself back in? Do I work on other stuff? What if I just wrote a book? What if I worked on writing a book? I told television to just jump in a lake. Right?
I meant to ask you. I know my DMs aren't really very coherent. But have you ever tried Windows 7? What is that? Voice to text? Like,
No,
dictating.
I haven't. I have not tried it. How do you feel about it?
Well, I found it, I used it, and I got 392 pages out of me, so. And these mitts aren't typing, you know that.
And I just flap my gums, and it just records it all and transcribes it?
Yeah. You have to insert commas, periods. You know, you have to remember to verbally speak the punctuation mark you want.
If I do that, I feel like I'm going to feel like, what's his face? Like Alan Partridge when he's driving around talking into his little mini cassette recorder saying, A show where Rutger Hauer is a futuristic policeman. Like, I feel like that's where I'm heading if I start with that. Maybe I got to do it, though. Maybe I got to do it.
I wanted you to give it a try. It's the only problem that I have with it is it's very sensitive. And if I'm using it and then Dave comes back and he walks by me, it will go but.
Because that's him walking by.
His footprints, yeah.
Well, he does have a very weird walk, though, we can both admit. It does sound like but.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Baby.
Yes, sir?
Hey, you're such a great person.
Hey, thank you.
You know what?
Uh-huh.
You just made me feel a little bit better. And then we'll keep going. And I will say this. I owe everybody an apology for the last hour of radio. I do. I owe you all an apology. If that's what I bring to the table, it's sick and shameful. I will make this hour up to you with the greatest single hour. And mark my words with this. Next week, you, the best show listener, will be subjected. Not subjected, rewarded by... What? Ugh. Mike with his notes. Mamacita, what did that note say again? Mamacita, what did that note say again, please? Please, Mamacita, bring the note back. Oh, thank you, Mamacita. If anything came out of tonight, it's that I'm not going to stop calling Mike Mamacita until it sticks. Like Wingman. Wingman's sticking.
Wingman is, well, it's a little more to the point.
Yeah, but I will say this. It was very loaded for Mike to just bring up Wingman. Because Pat asked everyone, one by one, he said, please, can you not call me Wingman? It's very hurtful. And then Mike just brought it up. Mike just put it back into the discussion. Wingman.
Just pick the scab off.
Yeah, that's how Mike does it.
Oh.
All right, baby. I appreciate the call. You're great. You know what you are? If you were a band, baby.
Yeah.
You would be. Construction Time Again era Depeche Mode.
Hey, hey. Thank you.
Not Alphaville. Hey, not Alphaville.
Huh?
Not Alphaville.
Oh, man, you know what? They are coming to the U.S. I have to eat my words.
They're coming back.
Yep, there are 5 cities thus far.
You said they would never do it.
Well, I did not believe.
I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
Since you use that software and you can tell it to print.
Yes.
You literally can't eat your words.
Ah, right. I love it.
I do have something
I have to drop on you.
Okay, what's that?
Dave, there's a feud for you that he thought. Johnny Carson, Joan Rivers.
That would be, oh my God, that would be.
Both passed on.
That would
very
be fantastic.
Territory.
Johnny Carson,
and,
Joan Rivers
I'm
would
an
be.
Adventure Time geek, so. I thought Jake's brother sounded a little familiar to me.
Yeah. Jermaine.
Just a little.
A little bit. Maybe heard the dulcet tones.
Yeah.
The
that
kid,
guy.
Kid gets in the booth, lays it down.
You do.
All right, baby. Thank you so much. You're awesome.
Love you, fella.
I love you, too. Bye. Best show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
Mary Houlihan.
Oh, my goodness. As I live and breathe. It's Mary Houlihan.
What's up, my dude?
The Empress of Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Houlihan, the Empress.
I forgive you for the last hour.
You forgive me for the last hour. You know what? I'm not looking for forgiveness. It sucked. It sucked, and I'll own it. Is it good for certain mm-hmm. people in a perverse way? Yeah, it is.
I like the guy that went to UFO college.
Yeah, that was actually, but he didn't want to talk about it. He sounded legitimately anguished about whether to talk about things, and then was just like, I'd rather not.
Wow.
Yeah. So what are you doing, Mary Houlihan, comedian, at Mary Houlihan?
Not much. I was doing some painting, but then I was tired of painting, so now I'm just sitting around.
How's your visor? I saw a picture of you with the world's largest visor.
It's true. I'm very concerned about the sun because I'm very fair. And I have some great baseball caps, but their brims just aren't big enough. So I got myself a real big brimmed visor with a bow in the back.
And do you wear that visor out and about?
No, I've only worn it inside so far.
Now, this visor is so big, it looks like your head is being eaten by Donald Duck.
Yeah, it looks like I'm a baby wearing a normal-sized visor.
It's so huge, this visor. How big? That thing must be 18 inches long.
I hope.
Mary?
Mm-hmm.
You're all right.
You're all right.
Why don't you come back down to the studio sometime?
Okay. I've been meaning to give you chocolate, but now I'm scared to mail it because I think it's too warm out and that the chocolate will melt and that maybe your dog will eat it.
First of all, my dog's not going to eat the chocolate. She's not a moron. She knows not to eat chocolate.
That's not how it works.
My dog doesn't even have time to eat chocolate with the stuff I feed her.
Okay, so I'll give you chocolate in real life.
Yes. Let's figure you coming back down, because it's always fun when you're here.
Almost, I like it.
Almost all of the staff loves it when you're here. One of the guys out there is not so crazy about it. I will talk to him before.
Me and Dudio are in a feud.
Feudio. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Hooli Dudio Feudio. Ooh-wee.
Oh, my God.
Ooh-wee Hooli Dudio Feudio.
That sucks.
It really does. I told you it sucked. This show sucks.
No.
And you were a part of it. You were one of the architects of the sucking. All right.
No way.
Hey, look, if the visor fits.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I also wanted to say that
if the visor fits, you don't want to wear it because you only like visors that are meant for people with the Easter Island sized heads.
Mm-hmm.
So what else did you want to say?
I really like Steed, so shout out to Steed.
Shout out to Steed. Yeah, people are putting your visor pictures on Twitter now. Did you see this visor, Mamacita? Okay, well, never. I don't care about you seeing it, honestly. Shout out to Steed. Great. Thank you, Mary Hooley. Look, Mary Hooley, you're awesome. I hope to see you soon.
You're awesome. Love you.
Love you, too. Bye. Best show. Final calls.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, to whom am I speaking?
This is Levon from British Columbia, Canada.
Levon, what's going on, Levon?
Well, I have a topic or a subject for the topic tonight.
The feuds.
It's, pardon me?
What is the subject?
Pete Kember versus Jay Spaceman from Spaceman 3.
Oh my God, you want to see a Spaceman 3 season of feud. That would be...
very dull.
I don't know. I think it'd be great.
But, yeah.
I'd love to see it. The two dudes in space.
They'd argue about Vox guitars, stuff like that.
Then finally they team up to say that the guy selling their records on Record Store Day doesn't have legal right to do so. And then they immediately walk that back.
Yeah. And then that's it.
Thanks, buddy. Best show. Hi. Best show, you're on. Hello. Hi. Best show. You're here. Let's do this. Now, good riddance. Best show, final call.
Hey, it's Stephen Philly. Big W. W tonight. Oh, every night.
No,
W.
That sucked. It sucked, bro. I know when it sucks. And this sucked.
W.
Yeah.
Every night, Tom.
And you're nice to say that, but you're wrong. It sucked.
Well, you're to W in my book, sir.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
But you know what? I don't know if that's a W. I certainly couldn't label that a W. Yeah. It wasn't. Why? I don't know. I'm not doing half-hour power either. I'm getting out of here. Gonna go home. Finish packing these orders. Then piece it back together. Move it forward. And not a great one. I was not great. I was off my game. I'll admit it. I know it. I ran my mouth. I flapped my gums about who's good and who's bad. And then this is what I bring to the table. Who the F am I? Who the F am I? Right, Mike? You're not supposed to say yeah to that. Yeah. Yeah, really. I don't know. I thought I had it figured out. Trying to get it all done. It's hard. It's hard when you're trying to get it done. Got a lot of elements, a lot of moving pieces. Trying to get the best show and turn it into something. But you know what? Sometimes it doesn't add up. Not rested, tired, limping to the finish line here. These mail orders are killing me, but you know what? They're going to be done soon. And you know what? When they're done, then we get to say we all move forward. Then I can do the best show with a fresh outlook. Then, but we're not there yet. Now, this is where we're at. Metal Machine Music, my friends. All day, every day. Side two, baby. He had a top 10 album, Lou Reed. And then this is what he brought to the world. Two discs of amplifier noise. Is it great? You know what? It is great. Was it the worst thing he could have done in his career at that point? Yup. But it happened. He did it. And now we have this. The squeaks and squalls of true horror. Metal Machine Music. This is what it sounds like right now. Will it sound different soon? Yeah, it will. But right now you're listening to a guy who's down, a little down, climbing his way back. Am I back? No. Am I at the bottom? Yeah, I think so. Do I see upward? Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Who cares? Next week, I make it up to you. Next week. Next week, it will be something else. The squall will be over. And only then will the show be back on target. Until then, good night.